Welcome back to the Disaster Podcast. We're here at EMS World Expo in New Orleans, and I'm actually myself, Sam Bradley, is sitting next to my actual co-host, Jamie Davis, and we don't always sit in the same place at the same time, so this is kind of fun.
It is kind of nice, and I really am looking forward to when we do these conferences. Usually I'm doing the medic cast episodes here, and I step away, give myself a little bit of a break for the Disaster Podcast episodes. But I know Counts is here, and we wanted to talk about, it's EMS research, right?
Yes, we've had a great discussion with her earlier about some of the things they're doing here in New Orleans, and search dogs, and USAR, and so forth. But she's doing a lot of research with EMS specifically, and we want to hear some more about that.
So, Counts, why don't you introduce yourself again, and let us know a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so my name is Catherine Counts. I'm a doctoral candidate at Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine, where I'm studying to be a health services researcher. And specifically, I focus on pre-hospital emergency medicine. But because I'm housed in the School of Public Health, a lot of times it's EMS mixed with public health type efforts. So that is what I bring to the table today.
Well, it sounds like we need that. We need a little bit stronger correlation between.
And the lines are blurred more and more every year now.
And EMS is doing a good job of blurring those lines.
Yeah,
it's very exciting.
I think it's important, right?
No, absolutely.
I mean, for so long, we were the last-ditch service.
You're the safety net.
Yep. You were that safety net.
Yep.
And that really is a public health problem.
Yes, absolutely. And it's this exciting idea of EMS getting, I don't know if frustrated is the right word, but providers recognizing that we can do more. I don't just want to provide cardiac arrest support. I want to prevent someone from getting a heart attack in the first place by maybe, you know, teaching them how to eat or helping them exercise or
preventative medicine.
I mean, it is a lovely concept. I'm a big fan of it.
And there's so many aspects to that. I mean, I tell this story a lot, but when I was regularly riding, you know, we would have a situation where these two sisters lived together, right? And we found out that this woman was calling, and she'd call every day for an entire weekend, and then we wouldn't hear from her for a couple of months.
Was her sister out of town?
Her sister would go visit her grandchildren. Yep. And she didn't like to be alone in
She's
the house.
She's lonely.
And she would call and get taken to the hospital with chest pain, respiratory distress, or whatever, and she'd call every night, but as soon as it got dark. And, you know, it became a public health situation. She needed some support. She needed some resources that weren't available in the community. We were able to actually connect her with a local church that had somebody visit her.
Exactly.
And got to know her, and it's a church she already attended, so it was comfortable for her. And they realized that they could provide a service for her as a member of their church community. And so we were able to find that resource. But how many other people are going unattended and unrecognized in similar situations?
Well, and that's my favorite part about EMS, is because you're like wheels on the ground, so to say. You're integrated in the community. You know what resources are out there that someone that's siloed in a brick and mortar hospital or healthcare setting doesn't see, doesn't know about, doesn't run into. And you know, oh, well, there's no sidewalk, or there's no grocery store right there, or there's a lot of gun violence on that corner. So those are going to be drivers of access to healthcare and access to public health that your standard provider isn't going to know about, isn't going to consider. They can't conceptualize it because they don't know it exists. So that's the great thing about EMS being wheels on the ground.
And it sounds like this is an area that community paramedicine is going into to help identify some of those frequent patients that can be easily dealt with if we know what the problem is and how to help them. And so that takes them out of the emergency level of pre-hospital care and into more a whole different level of care, maybe provided by a community paramedic.
It's hearkening back to the, you know, the 1800s and the early 1900s,
yes,
where the healthcare came to you, and we now go to the healthcare, but realistically, is it actually more efficient when the healthcare comes to you? And sometimes it is, and you can provide you can cover the social determinants of health instead of just healthcare, which is what's so exciting about this.
You know, maybe they had it right in the first place.
Maybe they did.
You
know, we just messed up in the 1950s.
Doctors making house calls.
Well, and you know, we see that happening. I mean, hospitals are shortening stays. They're realizing people heal better at home when they're not getting awakened for another set of vital signs every 3 or 4 hours. They're getting a full night's sleep. Let's say less chance that you come home with a bug you didn't go into the hospital with.
Oh yeah.
There's a whole lot of things that happen as a result of getting out of the hospital quicker rather than staying for a longer, for more protracted stay. But what are some of the things that you see changing In other words, you're looking at this from a public health perspective. Is public health recognizing EMS? I mean, I know EMS is trying to push the boundaries, but are we getting met from the other side?
I think it's slowly starting to recognize that EMS is making a forte, and I think it's location dependent. You know, you have some of these EMS agencies that are just very vocal and very good at the service that they're providing that's out of the standard stereotypical EMS context, and so their regions know they exist, and they know how to utilize their resources because they're doing a good job of selling them, not selling themselves, but at least pitching themselves and recognizing that this is, it's out of the box thinking, it's non-stereotypical, but recognizing that maybe this is the best method to provide this, or hey, we'll at least give it a shot because it's different and it's new, but it works somewhere else, so we'll try it here. And that's, so yeah, some region dependent, how about that?
It is. Now, so the next thing I will bring you to is, it's important to capture data because we need to show outcomes, right? I mean, when you start talking about public health, we start talking about capturing data. We've got a lot of things going on where they're looking at all aspects of what they can do to serve their larger community as a whole. And that means they have to be able to show an outcome result from anything they're doing.
Well, and I come from the school of Donna Beedian, so it's not just outcomes we need to look at, but we also need to capture data on the structure and capture data on the processes and then also capture data on the outcomes and recognize that there can be issues at all three levels.
Okay.
And so it's not just morbidity and mortality, it's not just overdoses, it's how do we get the materials out there via the process or the structure of maybe it's the physical location of something or the programs that are developed, et cetera. But yes, data is extremely important. I'm a big fan of the NMSIS database. I'm actually using it for my dissertation, so plug for that. And then, and just EMS is starting to recognize the value that data brings to the table because it's proof positive. You can't go to someone and say, I have a really great idea without the numbers to back it up. People want proof that this is an effective method of providing care in a novel way, and you have to have numbers to do that.
Well, and systems are demanding some accountability from a pocketbook standpoint.
Absolutely.
As the money is becoming less and less to provide EMS service. It used to be, you know, you just paid the ambulance, and that was, you know, the city or the municipality or the jurisdiction paid for ambulance services in whatever way they did, and they didn't really look too hard at what was going on the other end. That, the days of that are gone.
Yes. It is, yeah, there's, you have to prove your worth to the community.
Well, not only that, but it sounds like, especially in a large complex system, say you have a number of EMS providers that all kind of are in their own little silo, and you have public health kind of at the 10,000 foot view, looking at how things should work for their county or their area, but they have to have some communication and collaboration and synergy with all of those providers to get them all on the same page. And I can imagine that gets a little complicated.
It does, especially because the agencies are all doing different things. The public health has their own, they have their own sources of incentivization versus the EMS incentives. And then, you know, what programs are they trying to deploy? Are you doing some kind of medication stuff? Are you doing Narcan? Are you doing TB? Are you doing chronic condition, readmission prevention? It's all, you have to suit the system as it's set up.
And part of that is set up with the protocols within the county and so forth. But, you know, I would hope that everybody has some, the county I still work with in California, there is that. They always go out to the provider and say, this is what we're thinking about in terms of new protocols for the, you know, for next year. What do you think? You know, we have a lot of opportunity of giving feedback. I don't know if that's the way it works across the country, but, you know, it's nice to see. So everybody gets their perspective in there. So when next year comes around, we're all in agreement with what we're doing. And that takes data.
That takes data. It takes time. It takes conversations. It takes reaching out to people that you wouldn't normally work with or wouldn't even normally cross paths with in the real world and saying, hey, I think you have a really awesome resource. I'd like to somehow tie that into our response mechanism. Because everybody can bring something to the table. At the end of the day, our end goal is to help save lives and create better livelihood for the patients that we serve. And so there's more than one way to get to that end goal. And there's a ton of agencies out there across the spectrum of those social determinants of health, whether it's homelessness or housing or case management or mental health care. And then healthcare is also that bucket. And then sometimes you do need that safety net mechanism because we fail and you've got to transport to the hospital and get them taken care of.
Yeah. And maybe pre-hospital types don't understand public health role quite as much as they should.
I'm not sure they're
why
educated
that data
on it.
Is all important. That's what I'm saying.
I think the community paramedic organizations trying to get some kind of certifications out there to educate EMTs and paramedics on public health concepts, but realistically there's only so much you can fit into an EMT or paramedic class.
Right.
And so what do you take out to
and so this comes back to the push for additional education as the baseline for EMS provider levels, whether it be a baseline associate's degree or even a bachelor's degree at some point for a paramedic. You get that additional opportunity for education, and you can do a class on public health and EMS and things like that. So what if you're a service out there, what if you're a provider out there in a service that says, I want to be more connected with public health and in that community, where do they go to make that connection?
I think you can start at your county level public health and just make a phone call. You know, everybody's trying to help. Say, hey, I'm so-and-so with XYZ agency, and I'd like to create some kind of relationship. Just meet for coffee, have a meeting, say, this is what we're facing as an agency. These are the problems we have. How do you think public health can help us solve them? Or public health saying, these are the problems we're having. We're having an outbreak of this, or we've noticed the opioid overdose increases just like you have. What are you doing? And tag teaming that and creating a collaborative relationship. But you can't create that relationship until you start talking to each other.
Yeah.
And so if you're self-siloing.
And you know what that sounds a lot like? That sounds a lot like Chris and Ann in Eagle County, Colorado.
Yes.
You know, they got their idea for their community paramedic program in that county because the public health nurse and one of the chiefs of the EMS departments there shared a ride to Denver for a meeting.
That's all you need.
And she didn't know anything about EMS, he didn't know anything about public health.
And
by the time they were done, they were like, you have paramedics that don't have the things to do all the time, and you have patients that need basic assessment and vaccination and other things. And, you know, these things, it's just like you said, sit down and have coffee, find out what you need, find out what I need, and see if there's a place where we can cross over.
And there's probably examples. Once you figure out where the gaps are and where the needs are in your community, I am positive that there is an organization that has tried to address that gap in their own way. So use those resources, use those Eagle County type organizations that are telling you how they're doing things and publicizing it on the internet to know this is an example of how to move forward.
Yeah, and I know that for another episode later on recorded here at this event, Chris and Ann are going to be talking about community paramedicine, where it's come over the last couple of years.
Oh, perfect, yeah.
And so we'll have that as another resource that we'll link to in this episode when it comes out. Counts, any final thoughts that you'd like to say for anybody out there thinking about public health? Is public health a good direction maybe for somebody seeking to go out and get a degree?
Yeah, for paramedics that want to advance their career into new areas.
Yeah, I mean, I think public health is growing in popularity. There's a recognition that preventative medicine, aka public health, that spectrum of the world of healthcare is important. You can easily get a bachelor's in public health at most, or a solid number of four-year colleges. And so if you want to go back to school and you're not really sure what to major in, maybe that's a possibility, or at least taking a few classes to get a better understanding of the importance of public health efforts and some of the basics of public health and how we've gotten to where we are today.
Excellent.
Is there any reference websites or someplace they might go to get more information on?
I like some just the basic intro level public health books. I think Google is your friend.
Yes, it is.
I think there's basic public health text, but there's not. Is there a public health and EMS textbook? I don't think so.
Maybe
y'all tell
me. Should write one.
Maybe we need one.
I mean, I think that'd be great. I'm sure that would flirt a lot with community paramedicine, and they would flow together really well.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Well, thank you so much, Counts.
And good luck in your dissertation.
Thank you.
How much more time do you have?
I will be graduating in May.
Excellent. Well, congratulations in advance. I know you're going to do fine.
I hope so.
Excellent.
And we love
Sandra,
all the work.
Take us out?
Yes, we love all the work you're doing with the canines and the USAR.
Thank you.
Keep it up. Maybe we'll see you here next time.
Absolutely.
Well, this was another episode of Disaster Podcast. I'm always sad to see it go because we have so much fun at this. We're here at the EMS World Expo in beautiful New Orleans. You can find me at Sam Bradley or Sam Bradley 11 on most social media sites, certainly on the disasterpodcast.com. And Jamie, where do they find you?
You can find me over at mediccast.com, and of course on the handle PodMedic in most social media sites.
So we want to thank Physio Control for having this booth where we can have these interviews with all these wonderful people, and certainly for my sponsor, Paragon Medical Education, who are very busy right now working here on the floor doing their own thing. So until next time, remember that disaster medicine is not our everyday medicine.